Right, over to Lindsay, German R, convener of the National Convener of Stop the War Coalition, and over to you, Lindsay.
Thanks very much, Roger, and it's good to see so many people here, and it's a real pleasure to be on the platform with the other speakers, and it's incredibly moving to hear what people are saying. Is this working okay?
Yeah, it's working right.
I'll try to switch from the channels.
Do you want to move?
I think I'll stand here. I think it's causing some problem for the mic. I only want to add one thing about Gaza itself, and that is, if you look at what all the military historians and the military experts are saying, they're saying there's never been a bombardment like the one that is going on in Gaza. In 1945, the British bombed, and the Americans bombed, Dresden. It's often regarded as a war crime. Quite right, 25,000 people killed. But there have been proportionately more buildings destroyed in Gaza than were destroyed in Dresden in 1945. There has been more intense bombing than there was in Vietnam when the Americans carpet bombed Vietnam in the 1960s. Now, when you're talking about these kinds of figures, and there's loads more figures you could give, the number of civilians killed in such a short period of time, the number of children killed, you can only be talking about this as a war crime. There is nothing else you can describe it as. There is no need for this to happen. There is absolutely no justification for it to happen. It is happening because Netanyahu and his government want to eliminate the Palestinians. They want to have a genocide. They want to drive them out of the whole of Palestine historically. They want to have the half the population of Jordan being Palestinians already. They want that to increase. They want to push them into the Sinai Desert in Egypt. They want to do all those things. The only reason they can do it is because of what the American government is doing and its faithful poodle here in this country, which follows it in every single thing that it does. So if you actually look at the last vote on the ceasefire at the UN General Assembly, what do you find? Nearly every country supports the ceasefire, nearly every country around the world. You know, all sorts of different politics, all sorts of different things. They can see this shouldn't be continuing. But Britain and the United States and a handful of their allies refuse to do this. And it's an absolute shame on Britain. It's an absolute shame on us that we have a government that does this and that Rishi Sunak is determined to do this. And it's an absolute crying shame that Keir Starmer and the Labour Party are going along with this policy as well. For a Labour Party, and I don't have many illusions in the Labour Party. If you look, Labour has bombed plenty of countries in the past, and Tony Blair, of course, took us into the war in Iraq. But for a Labour Party, looking at this humanitarian disaster and not being able to say this should be immediate, I mean, the ceasefire is surely the bare minimum. You know, you think of all the things we'd like to see with justice with the Palestinians, with the Palestinians could be treated equally and freely in their own country, which is denied to them. But a bare minimum is this ceasefire, and yet we don't get it. Worse than that, what's going on now is that our government and the United States are dragging us in to a much, much bigger war. People have talked about Yemen. Look at what's happening in Yemen. Yemen is one of the poorest countries in the world. It suffered the most appalling war when Saudi Arabia, one of the richest countries in the Middle East, with an incredibly big military, spent several years bombing it. It was aided by the British government, which sent RAF officers to sit in the control rooms where they actually told them where to bomb, and how successful to be. Now, what's happened, and all the time, by the way, it created a humanitarian disaster there, the worst famine anywhere in the world. Now, how do you think the Yemeni people feel when they see this freedom of movement for international ships going through, How do you think they feel when they've got no food and there's container ships going through day after day bringing consumer goods to Germany, to Britain, to France, to all those other countries? How do you think they feel about that? How do you think they feel when they see the Palestinians being bombed in just the way that they were and starved in just the way that they were? They feel quite rightly that they want to show solidarity with the Palestinians. And they are absolutely right. This is a strait which goes past their country. It isn't a British country. It isn't an American country. They'd like it to be. It was a colony of Britain for some time. They'd like it to be. But how do you think these people feel? And therefore, they are saying, and they're saying this will stop. These attacks in the Red Sea will stop if there is a ceasefire. Now, the easiest thing to do would be for the Americans to say, OK, we'll agree to a ceasefire. Instead, they lob missiles at Yemen. They've killed Yemeni people. They're attacking the Yemenis again and again. By the way, as an incidental thing, every single one of these missiles cost £1 million. Remember that when your hospital doesn't have the equipment, when your schools can't give books to children, all this sort of thing. They are absolutely reckless about starting a war there. Grant Shapps, the defence minister, who's an absolute joke, he said this week, we have to prepare for World War III. So, you know, this is how they're talking. And therefore we need more money. We need more people in the army. We need more navy. We need more of all these sorts of things. That's what he said only this week. And David Cameron, Lord Cameron, as he said, we've got an unelected prime minister, we've got an unelected foreign secretary who hasn't even put himself to election by his local constituents. He sits in the House of Lords from where he pronounces. He says the red lights are flashing all round the world about the threat of war. Now, that is true. But if it's true, whose fault is it that it's gone in this direction? Because you have the United States backing all sorts of reactionary regimes. You have it fighting a proxy war through NATO in Ukraine. And it is beginning to draw the links between all these different things. So, of course, it's all, we're told, Hezbollah's Russian-backed and it's Iranian-backed. We hear that Hamas is Iranian-backed. We hear that the Houthis are Iranian-backed. It's all true in the sense that they get money and arms from those countries, just as a whole number of other countries get money and arms from the United States. That's what the conflict between countries amount to. But let's remember with Iran, who overthrew their elected prime minister back in 1953? Who backed the Shah, who was one of the most reactionary, and now the followers of the Shah are joining in with the Israelis and demonstrating in London. You've got the Iranian opposition, as it's called, with a monarchist flag. That's what's going on. They backed the Shah, who was the most repressive ruler in the Middle East, and was overthrown by a revolution which became an Islamic revolution. Now, I don't agree with what the Iranians do. It's an autocratic, repressive regime, and I don't agree with that. But I'll tell you what, if you want to know why there's so many repressive and autocratic regimes in the Middle East, look at what Western imperialism has done in those countries time and time again. And therefore, we have to look at where the real fault lies with all these kind of things. And when we raise these kind of things, what happens to us? We're told that we're being anti-Semitic, that's one thing we get. And we have to be absolutely clear about this. It is not anti-Jewish, it is not anti-Semitic to attack the state of Israel, which is carrying out a genocide. In fact, we should be doing it, as many Jewish people are doing around the world as well. We must continue to do that. We're also being repressed on our demonstrations. I don't know what it's like here in Newcastle, but in London, every week, the police put what they call a Section 12 on our demonstration, try to limit the route, try to stop us going down particular routes, and arrest people for all sorts of absolutely ridiculous so-called crimes. You know, a placard that they don't like. Okay, maybe the placard, there may be a problem with it. Is this really a crime? Should it be a crime, the way that they're doing it? And what they're trying to do is to criminalise protests, and to particularly to criminalise Muslim people who are protesting. That's the thing that they're really talking about doing. So it seems to me that when we talk about what we're doing, when we set up Stop the War in 2001, the main slogan was Stop the War, but we also had two other slogans. One was to defend civil liberties, and the other was against Islamophobia. Those slogans have both become much more important over those intervening years, and it's very, very important we continue to campaign over those. So we have to stand up to be counted. We have to stand up against racism. We have to stand up against the civil liberties attacks on us, and we have to stand up for the Muslim community, who are absolutely, you know, they go on about integration. The Muslim community has integrated time and time again, opposing the Iraq war. That was massively popular and actually completely correct. Opposing what's going on with the Palestinians, opposing all those sorts of things, and we need to be very, very clear what this is about. We also need to continue demonstrating. I was on a Zoom call on New Year's Eve with, among other people, Mustafa Barghouti, who's a very, very articulate and well-respected politician, apart from by Julia Hartley Brewer, who obviously made a complete fool of herself with that particular interview. But Mustafa Barghouti said a very important thing. He said there are two countries in the world that we look to for demonstrations. One is Indonesia, which has absolutely massive demonstrations. The other is Britain. He said, we look at it and we see what you're doing there. We see the huge demonstrations nationally. We see what everybody's doing locally. And that gives us heart that there is a real movement of solidarity in what is the heart of imperialism. So that for us is important. Britain has a rotten role in the Middle East. It had the mandate for Palestine between the wars in the after the collapse of the Ottoman Empire. It controlled large parts of the Middle East, along with France. Winston Churchill was responsible for one of the first air attacks, one of the first air raids on the Iraqi people just after the First World War. This is our record. So really, the British government doesn't really have the right to start telling people in the Middle East what they can and can't do. That's up to the Palestinians and all the other people of the Middle East to decide for themselves. So that really, I think, and please do continue to campaign. Please do join Stop the War. Please do build the Stop the War Coalition. It's incredibly important because we are in a new era here. We're in, you know, since October the 7th, the impunity with which Israel is acting, the fact that we have more and more threats of war, the fact that this can all join up, not just in the Middle East and in Europe, but with the growing tension around China as well. And then you're talking about the prospect of war without end. And this is something that has to be an alternative. And the alternative, it seems to me, is saying that imperialism has to get out of the Middle East, that the people themselves have to decide what they want. But also in this country, I think the people themselves should start to decide what they want to do and kick out this lousy government, kick out Keir Starmer and everything that he stands for. And let's start to build a society which is based on equality, which is based on justice, and which turns its back on the colonialism of the past. So solidarity, and thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Lindsay. That's very inspiring.